this episode's going to be weird. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Bird Chirp Podcast. I am your host, Elijah Hickman. Mike is not here. Mike is in one of the Carolinas or something. He's been working hard up there. He's been a busy boy. And just not able to really work out a time where he's able to be on the phone. So we're going to play a fun game, and we're just going to kind of randomly call people. I'm going to go ahead and give Mike a ring just real quick. Didn't even ring. Okay, now it's ringing. That was super weird.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Okay, well, what's happening? He's at dinner with his boss. He said he'll call me. What is happening? Somebody's trying to... What's ringing? Okay, let's go down the list. Let's see what Marvin's doing.
Hello?
God almighty. Hold on. Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm fixing you to find something today with mom and dad.
Nice. Like about to walk out the door or?
Pretty quick.
Like 5 minutes or like 20 minutes?
Why?
Well, I'm trying to record a podcast and I was going to see if you wanted to chit chat for a couple minutes.
Oh, it's Friday. Why are you just going to record a podcast?
Well, if we're being completely honest, it's because me and Mike both have very bad, not time management, but planning skills. And so...
Really?
Yeah, when we both had like free time on Tuesday, neither of us thought about doing it. And then we were both slammed on Wednesday and last night. So it just... And then now it's Friday, so ta-da! but yeah, that's why. So I'm currently sitting alone, and I tried to call Micah, but he didn't answer, and he texted me. It was like, I'm at dinner with the boss. I'll call you when I get back to the hotel. And I was like, okay. So, but I'm just doing this thing where, like, you know, maybe talk to you for a couple minutes, and then maybe he'll answer, or maybe I'll call somebody else, or I don't know. I'm just going to call people until something happens.
Call people until you get enough recorded for about an hour?
Yeah, I guess. It's the plan so far.
Oh, yeah. We're fixing to walk out the door.
Damn it. Okay. Well, all good. Okay. Well, y'all have a good dinner, and I'll talk to you later.
Alrighty.
All right. Bye.
Good luck with your finding somebody to fill it.
I appreciate it. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Strike two. I know Nathan's in the shower. Let's see. Who should I call? Let's see if Nate answers. Are you at work?
Yes.
Damn it.
Wow, what's up?
It's a long story, but basically I was just trying to call people and trying to record a podcast, but you're at work. Marvin's going to dinner, and Micah's at dinner with his boss, so.
I mean, I can if you want to. I don't care.
Okay. Well, we're recording, so.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, are you doing anything?
Yeah, I'm running a 40 time.
Oh. Does that take does that need most of your attention, or is it just like a
yeah.
I mean Okay. Well.
No, I can do it.
Okay. Well.
Tell the guys on the radio to be quiet.
All right. What are you doing?
I'm hauling some rock. I got kicked off the... Not really kicked off, but I broke my tractor, so I got put in a 40-cent.
Oh. How much does yours normally weigh?
The one I was running today is... it's like 198,000, at least.
It's 100 tons?
100... No, 198,000 pounds. I don't know the exact time on that one.
So 198 divided by 2 would be 99 tons. No.
Yeah. No.
198,000
yeah.
Divided by 2,000. Yeah, 99 tons. Is that right?
No. Because
a ton is 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, that'd be right.
Yeah, because if it was 200,000 pounds, then it'd be 100 tons.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. 99 tons.
Wow. So the one you're in right now is much smaller than the one you're normally in.
Weight-wise, yeah. It's about the same, you know, like length and height, but it doesn't weigh as much unless I'm loaded.
So what are you in now? Because you're normally in a compactor, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm normally in a compactor. We've got a new one, that BOMAG, and that's the one I've been running, but it broke down today. I'm in a 40-ton, which I don't know what this new one weighs. This is also new to me. I can tell you.
Is it a compactor, though, or is it something else?
No, it's a like a 40-ton, like the ones I haul dirt with.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So this one... this one weighs 40,000 pounds, and I'm usually hauling about 40 to 45 tons, so loaded. It's pretty heavy, but
jeez.
Normally it's not that bad.
Dang. So you're actually moving things around with that.
Yeah, the tractor loaded me up with dirt or rock, and that's what we're using to cover the trash haul with.
Oh, okay, cool. So I guess for anybody listening that cares and or doesn't know, Nate runs heavy equipment at the landfill. Is that right?
Yeah. I lay trash out and cover it up.
Very nice. It's not the prettiest job or the not easiest on the nostrils, but it's a pretty important job. It needs to be done.
Oh yeah, it's a necessity for me. With how many people are moving down to Texas and
yeah,
it's a necessity right now.
Oh yeah. But well, do you have a good Christmas?
Oh yeah, I had a pretty good Christmas. Got that new thermal, so I'll be pretty excited about that. Got a good
Oh, nice. What'd you get?
What is it? ATN.
Okay, nice.
What's it called?
Yeah,
Thor.
Yeah. Oh, did you get the Thor?
Yeah, I got the Thor.
Nice. Heck yeah. What is that going on?
Probably going to go on the 350 Legend for right now until I get my 30-06 set up.
That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. That night vision's good and all, but it keeps going outside, so I need to put that thermal on.
Yeah. Have you gotten a chance to test it out at all?
I actually went down. I was checking the feeder because the camera said there were pigs down there, so I brought it with just kind of see. It's pretty slick. It's clear. Yeah, real good imaging on it, I think.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Oh, is that what you meant when you... I sent you that picture of that big deer at like 2 a.m. and you were like, I'm going to get a thermal. And I was like, ah, yeah, good one.
Yeah,
I thought it was just like a general comment. I didn't realize you had one. That's funny.
Yeah, I just got it.
That's funny.
Well,
but yeah. What, anything crazy or funny happen or out of the blue?
Well, not really. I mean, just I haven't been home much since Christmas. So I've been at work, but
yeah, trying to get caught back up.
Oh yeah, it's been interesting.
Yeah, I bet. Luckily, it was just one day versus if like next year it'll fall on a, well, I don't know if that's true or not, but like if it falls on like a Tuesday, Wednesday, then it's like 2 days, but.
Yeah, it kind of sucks for us, but we're only closed on Christmas Day, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, we're open Christmas Eve and we're open the day after Christmas. So we're constantly running, but like the neighboring cities that haul to our stations, they're closed for, two, three, 4 days at a time. And that's what screws us over.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. On average, we get about 4,000 tons of trash a day this week. And we've averaged anywhere from 45 to 6,000 tons a day.
Golly. That's a lot of trash.
Oh, yeah. Trash and doo-doo. It's great.
Yeah, well. Golly. What was that? Saturday night that we were out at your place?
Was
it Friday night?
I think it was Saturday.
No. I was at... No, I was... Wait. I got all my days confused. It was the night... Yeah, it was Saturday night. It was the night that... that y'all did, like, the big party and stuff. But I had some stuff going on, and so I couldn't make it. But I did come out later on that night.
Yeah.
What time did y'all end up leaving? Or, I mean, it's your house. But what time did y'all end up, like... piecing out and stuff?
Because
I left at like 11.
I don't think everybody left until around 4.
Cool.
Yeah.
I woke up on, I guess, Sunday, and I had a Snapchat from Marvin. He was in the deer stand, or in the deer blind, and I was like, I have to assume he just went home, changed, and then went right to the stand.
Oh, he did. Yeah. That was like the main reason. Because towards the end, I think just me and Mark.
Oh, and, gotcha.
That's the only reason I stayed up. Because he stayed up with me, so I can just leave here and go straight to the stand. I said, oh, yeah, I can.
Yeah, I've done it. It's not fun. It's definitely easier when you're... like in a blind like he's in, because you can, I don't know, lay down if you wanted to, or if you're even in something on the ground. But when you do that and you go and get up in a tree, and it's really spooky when you wake up and you're just in a tree and you're like, huh, how did I get here? How long have I been here? How long was I asleep? Did I scare deer off?
Yeah, I've done that many a time. I've actually had, those dreams you have when you're falling and then you all of a sudden wake up.
The what?
Yeah, I've had those dreams that you have sometimes where, you're just randomly falling, and then right before you hit the ground, you wake up.
Oh, yeah.
I've had many of those in the tree stand, and I need to change myself afterwards.
Yeah. I've always been good about wearing a harness, which is definitely a good idea.
Oh, that's a really good idea. I probably should.
Yeah, which, I mean, I guess... Some of the tree stands out there that have like the bars and stuff on them, they're a lot harder to fall out of. Both of mine are just like hang on stands, and so they're on the easier side to fall out of. Plus, I've hung them in slightly peculiar angles and stuff, and so the one I hunted out of a lot last year, I was basically leaning over. Like, I was basically, like, sitting forward on the tree just because that's the only place I could have put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that one was really fun. I was definitely putting a harness on every single time in that stand.
And that's the only good thing with like my tree stand is it's leaned back, so I mean I'm not too worried. But at the same time I try to not fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not recommended to fall asleep in a tree.
No.
But it gets so boring. Especially like if you get up, like get out there like good and early, and you're sitting there and you're like, I can't really be on my phone because it's too dark. It's going to light the whole woods up. And so you sit there and it's like, now what? And a lot of times I'll sit there and like, I'll use that time and I'll like, you know, pray and stuff. But then I end up falling asleep. Just like, I don't know. So I'm like, oh, great. And I wake up at like 8 o'clock and I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. My shooter walked by 4 minutes ago. That's crazy.
Oh, I've had that many a time where I wake up and I check my camera and I had a bucket below me, you know, about 10 minutes ago. I'm like, oh my Jesus.
God, yeah. I had a buddy one time. Go ahead.
That's one of those good things for the longest time. You know, it's kind of mine and my dad's thing to go hunt together. So I would just go to sleep and he'd wake me up when something walk out.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of the ideal setup right there. I had a buddy a couple of years ago. He was after this really good deer, actually. And he drove all the way out to the property. It's like 2 hours or so. He drove all the way out there. I think he got there either Thursday night or Friday morning or something like that. Hunted the first day. The second day, it was the weather wasn't supposed to be great. Supposed to be a little rainy or whatever, and he woke up that next morning to hunt, and he like woke up and looked out the window and it was raining like pretty good, and so he was like, nah, screw that, I'm gonna go back to bed. So he goes back to bed, he gets up, he like goes, makes his rounds, like, you know, checks feeders and corns and everything and cameras, and he goes and checks this camera. And the shooter was there at like 10 yards for like an hour and a half. And it was like, it stopped raining like 30 minutes after he went back to sleep. And then he, you know, buck just got up and was hungry and stuff. And so I just got him a bunch of corn and, well, I don't know what ever happened to that deer. I don't know if they ever harvested that deer or not.
Well, that's like, I wouldn't have been. What, remember when I sent you a picture of my 17 came in?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking 2 weeks ago now when it was raining real bad. I was like, it's raining, I'm not going to go hunt. And get a picture at 3:30 when I'm walking around Shields, Christmas shopping, and he's there at my feeder.
At 3:30 in the afternoon?
Yep.
Oof. Well, I had that... Yeah, I had that big guy walk by. I don't remember what day it was. It was early last week, I think, maybe. Right before Christmas. And he showed up, like... He showed up at like, what was it? He showed up at like 1. Yeah, he showed up at like 1 p.m. and then he showed up again at like 5, like 30 minutes before daylight. And it was on like a Tuesday or whatever. And I was like, what the heck? But.
These big bucks have the most random times when they're moving.
Well, and that's the thing is like, they're not really rutting anymore. They're just kind of hanging out.
Well, that's the weird thing. My camera, man, was going nuts this morning, so I check it, and I had, you know, my normal doe there, and I had some a group of young bucks come in, and they're chasing them. I was like, I thought a rut was over, man. I mean, and they're in there. I mean, they're in there chasing them hard.
Really?
Yeah, this morning.
That's so bizarre.
I mean, I've got one of my I haven't seen him for a while, but that real wide ape that I had with a split main beam, he came back in and he was doing the same thing. He was there yesterday, you know, probably 9 o'clock in the morning.
Weird. Super weird. Yeah, I was looking at the weather and stuff because I was really wanting to go hunt tomorrow, Saturday, and then possibly Sunday. I'd like to find some ducks to go hunt on Sunday just to, you know, get Sarah and Michaela and whatever, you know, get them on a hunt and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, maybe if I don't, then I'll deer hunt. And then I was like, maybe I'll deer hunt Sunday. I was like, nah, there's no way I'm hunting. There's no way I'm doing anything Monday morning. So, I was like looking at it, and luckily deer season goes until the 7th this year of January. Normally it's like, I guess it's still the first. Yeah, I guess it's the first Saturday in January is what it, or the first Sunday in January. Because last year, last year it was like January 1st.
Yeah, it ended pretty quick.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think the number of days are about the same. But we started a little bit later this year. I want to say last year opening day was. No, that's not right. Maybe it's just how it fell this year, because last year opening day was like October 3rd. This year it was September 30th.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just how it fell, kind of goofy, because like January 1st is on Monday, and so they're like, that's kind of cutting them off an entire week, and so it's like, well, I'll just give them an extra week or whatever.
Well, it's like, me and my dad have been talking about it. The way rut and the weather has been going this year, they should have moved the season back. What I think it was. Because, I mean, my deer are still rutting, and I'm having different bucks coming in that I haven't seen before. And you know, season ends, what, not this weekend, but next.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to work. I mean, I'm cut off a lot of the days because I'm out here. I mean, I'm up at 4 o'clock, I get out here, and I usually don't get home until 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's 6:35 on a Friday night, and you're still grinding away, so.
Oh, yeah, I probably won't get off here until 7:30, 8 o'clock tonight.
Do you work tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I figured you would just because it's a long week. Plus, next week's going to suck as well. I'm assuming you'll have Monday off, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, the way it falls for me, I'm already off. I'll be off Sunday through Tuesday.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that we're closed Monday. So, again, it's going to be just like it was this week. It's going to be balls to the wall, just grinding the entire week.
Oh, so your schedule, you were already off. Well, like, you always have Sunday off, but you're off Monday and Tuesday this week? Just
yeah, I'll be off Monday and Tuesday this week, and then
that's nice.
Next week is what I call my hell week, because I'll work Wednesday through Saturday, and then get Sunday off, and I come right back and work Monday through Thursday.
Oof. But then the next week is Friday. You're off, like, Friday through Wednesday or something, aren't you?
I'm off Friday through Sunday the next week or after my hell week. And then, when it comes up to my 5 day, when I'll be off that Friday through Tuesday, I'll be gone. I took off the next week after that. I'm going to be up in Oklahoma going on a goose and sand hill hunt.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Who are you going with?
It's just me. That's one of the gifts I got for Christmas, was that hunt.
Oh, okay. Is it like a guided hunt?
Yeah, it's a guided hunt.
That's what I meant. Like, what guide?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Dad. He has all the information.
Fair enough.
You
know where it is?
I'll ask him. Try to tip my tongue, but I can't think about it. Or think of it. It's on the other side of Durant, I believe. I mean, it's not, but no, no, actually, it's further than that. I think it's like 4.5 hours away from home.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's up. It's probably Lawton-ish. I mean, I'm assuming it's like north, probably west of Wichita Falls.
Probably so. Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah, the guy, or from what Dad said when he talked to him, is man. Yeah, we can put him on a goose hunt, but he goes, with the way everything's flying, he goes, we're getting ducks, we're getting, you know, sandies, specks, snows, and I said, heck yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's crazy is I just saw two separate videos today. One was, I think it's like DU and Drake or somebody that, like, you know, do a lot of paying attention to actual migration and stuff like that. And they were saying this... Is it this week or next week? I think it was this upcoming week. They're calling for like a good push of birds, like coming down south and stuff. And, you know, just like how the weather is. But it's been so warm. I saw another video this afternoon, and it was this guy. I don't exactly know where in Canada he is, but somewhere in Canada, he's taking this video. And it's, you know, a couple thousand geese in the field. And they're big geese, too. A couple thousand geese in this, like, I guess it's a wheat field. I don't really know what's in this field. It basically just looks like grass. But, like, there's no snow on the ground. Like, there's a little bit of, like, snow on, like, the edges of the road. But there's no snow on the ground. It's, like, 30-something degrees, he said. And, like, there shouldn't be more than about... probably 24 waterfowl birds in Canada right now. You know, like, there should be 4 or 5 feet of snow on the ground is what he was saying. And he's like, it's just stupid hot, and so we're not getting birds.
You know, this winter, whatever you want to call it, I mean, it doesn't even feel like winter. It's been weird. I mean, it's, you know, finally starting to get cold, but we never had a freeze yet. I mean, it's gotten, what, to 32 the past couple nights, but never had a good freeze.
Yeah, there was one, what was it? We had that one, was it early December? Or was it back like mid-November? It's been a little bit, but we had like a week there where it was like, it was getting down to like 30, like it would, for about a week, it would dip somewhere between like 35 and like 28 degrees at night. And like
It was in November.
Okay. But, like, besides that, like, and then the next week it was, you know, lows in the 50s and highs in the 80s. And it was just like, what's this? And so it was just...
Texas.
I know, but it was just super, super weird. Because normally, like, normally our, like, normally January is pretty cold. February's the coldest month we have by far. And then...
Oh, yeah.
March is normally pretty cold, and then it kind of, you know, it does warm up a little bit, but then it just goes straight hot, and it's hot and hot and hot until it kind of cools off for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's just cold again. Or I guess it kind of cools off. Texas, it's either hot or it's cold. Like, it's, we don't get much fall or spring. This year we did. This year, our spring, like, it was very gradual between winter and summer this year for, like, I don't know, 2 months. Like, it was a very, like, storybook spring. And
it was kind of weird this year.
Yeah. And they've been calling for a bad winter this year for a long time. Like, they've been, you know, they've been comparing it to the winter of 83, I think, where it's, like, basically, the entire state shut down because it was just crazy cold. Which, I don't know. They're saying, you know, crazy cold winter, but it's like the high. Let's look at the high for today. Oh, that's my maps. The high was 45 degrees. Oh, no, that's right now. The high was 53 degrees today. Sunday is going to be 60. Yeah. And, I mean... The high all next week is low 50s, high 40s, but it's like New Year's Eve, the last day of the year. The high's 60. The low's 39. December 31st shouldn't be 60 degrees. That's so goofy.
The New Year's party we had last year. It was cold. As heck in the barn.
It was cold. It was really cold.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what's going on with this year.
Was it 2 years ago that it was like really, really cold?
I want to say yes.
I think that's right. But yeah, and I mean, so far it doesn't look like we're gonna get this crazy cold winter. But who knows? February may come, and we may be snowed in for 2 weeks. I don't know. But they've been calling for this crazy hard winter that we haven't had in 30 something years. Blah blah blah. All this, and then it's like, but we're also having record heat up north. Like, it's just goofy.
Yeah, it's a man. I feel like with the way it's been gone so far, I feel like we are gonna have a pretty crappy winter.
Probably.
Once it actually happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, probably just because that kind of seems to be the trend. Is like we don't really have winter, and then when we get winter, it's so bad and harsh. Like it's. And it's not like, oh, there's a foot of snow on the ground. It's like, oh, there's 6 inches of ice everywhere.
Yeah, we don't get snow. We get ice. No. That's the crappy part.
And it's literally like worst case scenario for like a waterfowl hunter here because it doesn't get cold. And so birds don't push down. And then once it is cold, it's like, first of all, the season ended 2 weeks ago. Second of all, my door is frozen shut. Like I can't even get outside. Like it is so cold. Like it's just like it's too cold kind of deal. And it's like, yeah, there's birds everywhere here in March, but it's like that doesn't help. But people keep saying stuff like, oh, we should push the season back, you know, instead of starting mid-November, start the second week of December and let us hunt through, I don't know, February or through whatever. And I don't know, all the biologists say that you can't really do that because it interferes with their breeding and stuff, and so I don't know. But
which, I mean, I see where people are coming from with that, and yeah, I kind of do agree with them pushing it back, but at the same time, it will interfere with their breeding, and then you won't have as many birds next year.
And, right,
I mean, I can kind of tell. You know, there's a bunch of birds, don't get me wrong, but some of the breeds are starting to struggle with things like, I mean, I haven't really seen that many mallards down here this year. No. I don't know how everywhere else is doing, pintail, I really haven't seen many of those. Greenwing and, like, widgeon and gadwall, oh, they're thriving.
Yeah.
Those suckers, you can kill them whenever, but I've noticed a few breeds are starting to struggle with things like.
Yeah, which, I mean, those are the main birds we get down here. It's 90% gray ducks. I mean, I'd say out of, what'd you say, pintail, mallard, and what?
Pintail, mallard, and, I think that's what I said, pintail, and mallard.
Okay. Out of those two, here where we are, we definitely get more mallards than pintails. But like, as far as I know, I don't really, like, I've never known there to be a big number of pintails in this area. If you go west, there are, like, even if you get west of the Metroplex, there's pintails out there. But the pintails just don't really seem to come here. But I mean, yeah, their numbers are not doing great because you can only shoot one of them.
Yeah, that's how you can tell usually. Go off of what they're telling you can shoot. And this year it's one.
Yeah. Well, we've only been able to shoot one pintail the last couple of years, right? Or did they bring it down from two?
No, last year I do think it was just one as well.
Yeah.
I think the year before it was two. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah. I've only shot two pintails ever. One's on the wall, and the other one, it was a hen I shot in Lubbock on accident.
That's literally me. I mean, I've been pretty fortunate, like, on my pond at my house. I've shot almost every species of duck on that pond.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And that's, I've only shot two pintail ever. I mean, luckily one of them was banded, so that was kind of cool.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard that before. That's cool.
Yeah, the, it was like the last week of season. I had a whole flock, actually. It was, I think, it was either 10 or 12 pintail landed on the pond. And I went down there, spooked them up, shot two, and one of them was banded, so that was pretty slick.
Shoo, boy. Heck yeah. What, yeah, the one I shot in Lubbock, so it was one of those things where there's like a, it's like a big spin and everything. There's just tons of birds everywhere. And there were a couple ducks mixed in, like a handful. Well, there was like ducks kind of to my right. And then there was a snow goose. And I thought it was like a juvie blue kind of deal or something.
Yeah.
I thought they were next to each other, but what happened was my depth perception was just way off, and it was just a duck that was way behind it. And so I shot the duck, and somebody goes, and like it fell like right in front of me. And somebody would, like, they went and picked him up, or whatever. And somebody was like, "Who shot a pintail hen?" And I was like, "That'd be me." They're like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, collateral. I don't know. It was my bad." They were like, "Well, I don't really."
You ran into my bullets. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. That deer ran into me, and I was going 70. So that's kind of on him.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's but yeah, I mean, I've only shot two, and I mean, I've seen quite a few killed or whatever. But like, yeah, around here, like, we're pretty much gadwall, widgeon, ringnecks. You got ringnecks everywhere.
Yes.
You know, not necessarily a bunch of trophy birds. We do, I will say, over the last probably 3 years, we've been getting more and more wood ducks.
That's what I was about to say. The past 2-3 years, I mean, last year especially, out of that area with a 4-man limit of wood duck. I mean,
yeah.
You don't normally get that down here.
No. And I mean, we can shoot, what, 3 wood ducks here? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is, it's kind of almost sad because I've still never shot a wood duck, but.
That's all I've shot this year.
Really?
I have not shot any other species, yeah. Only I shot a wood duck.
I think I've shot we've pretty much only shot teal. Teal and, that's the other bird. We get a lot of teal down here. Shot a bunch of teal and. I think we shot a shot a couple of mallards and
too.
Yeah, and a couple of widgeons, stuff like that, but like nothing. I don't think we shot any pintails or anything like that, you know. So I mean, all gray, but those but like those teal have been here since not really September. There weren't really birds around in September, but they've been here since opening day. I mean, we shot them up on opening day. We shot them up the weekend before, for youth opener, or youth season or weekend or whatever you want to call it. Had a good hunt on that. So I mean, just kind of, I don't know. It's just, yeah. But like, it's the very end of December. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's. We shouldn't have all these teal around. There should be no teal left. There should be no teal left in the DFW Metroplex.
That's what they are saying here.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I saw a guy, he shot a 3-man limited teal in, where was it, Missouri? Or something like that. Like 2 days ago. And I was like, how's that even possible? Why are there teal up there? And I guess they're just.
I think this weather has got everything just messed up.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully it gets cold and, like, actually gets cold and pushes some birds down. They're saying, that video I was talking about the migration earlier, they're saying, you know, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, and like the northern part of Oklahoma, they're saying like all that's supposed to get like a decent amount of snow, and like I think it was South Dakota supposed to get like the majority of the state is projected to get like 12 inches of snow next week. And so hopefully they actually do, and you know, we get some stuff pushed down. I do know I've been seeing a ton of videos on people, not even like hunting related videos, but a ton of people, I think South Dakota, where like everything's just got a solid layer of ice on it. Like I saw a video and it was like how you get to work in December in South Dakota, and this guy was literally ice skating down the highway. Like he had like his hockey skates on, and was literally skating down the highway, and I was like, that's kind of cool actually. I was like, I don't really know why you're having to go to work, because it's like, who's gonna be out? And I mean, but
well, that's I will say that's the one crappy part about this job. No matter if it's rain, you know, blistering heat, frozen, I have to be here. And yeah, like last year when that real bad freeze came through, I was the one going around, because I had four-wheel drive, going around and rounding up all the guys that live close to me and bringing them to work.
Screw them. Put them on a Greyhound.
Yeah.
We, so the year that I worked at the pizza place there in town, me and Logan, So the year I was there, the year before that, it had iced up real bad and stuff. And so me and Logan had talked to the owner of the pizza place and were like, hey, if it ices up real bad, can we deliver pizzas on four-wheelers? And he was like, dude, I don't care. That's awesome. And we were like, heck yeah. And then it didn't. And I was so bummed. But, I mean, I was. And then I really thought about it, and I was like, yeah, if everything's frozen and I can't. Yeah, I was like, I don't know. That's like a 35-minute four-wheeler ride. That's going to suck. So I was like, maybe not. But it would have been cool to do. I would have trailered it to town to deliver pizzas on a four-wheeler. That would have been so cool, dude.
People
be
like, what are you doing? I'm delivering your pizza on a four-wheeler, man.
Yeah, gets pulled over, and cops like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm just like, you want a slice? I just carry an extra, like... thing of like some cheesy bread or something in my pocket, just to be like, bribe the cops off of me or whatever.
I'm just trying to do my job. Here's some cheesy
bread. Yeah, but hopefully we do actually get some cold, and I'd love to get some snow, because the ice is just miserable.
Oh, it sucks. I mean.
Because, like, in the snow is like, oh, you can play in the snow. You can actually go and function and carry on with your day in the snow if you, like, have to or need to or whatever. But it's like the ice, it's like, it's a huge pain in the butt to do everything. So.
I mean, you have to go slow going to work. It takes you that much longer. You have to wake up that much earlier.
Yeah.
I hated that last year.
Yeah. It's no fun. And I mean, that's the thing about ice is like, it's like, yeah, you got four-wheel drive, but it's like, it doesn't help if you have zero traction. So, I mean, you know, it's just kind of not great still. I mean, but.
Yeah, either way you look at it, I mean, ice is just, it sucks all the way around.
Yeah, it's not a fan favorite, that's for sure. But hopefully we get some birds pushed down here in the next, really, as fast as possible, and hopefully, for my sake, hopefully the wind changes directions a little bit, and can go shoot a deer, because I'd really like to do that, but the days are limited, so we'll see what happens on that. I was going to go tomorrow, but it's supposed to be like a south wind, and that's going to be way bad for me, so I was like...
Are they coming in from behind you?
Sometimes. I mean, not necessarily.
Oh, never mind. You're saying it's a south wind, you know, that's not good for you. That's blowing straight into the woods.
Yeah, it's blowing, well, yeah, that and straight at the feeder. So it's like, that's, I mean, real no bueno. So
I know probably Sunday morning, I'm going to be in the stand for sure.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. Monday morning is supposed to be great.
Oh, I planned on most likely being in the stand Monday.
Yeah, but I think it's supposed to... yeah, there's no way I'm going to be in the stand Monday. But that's the other thing is you're in a... like, you're up in a tree, and... Yeah. And you are offset a little bit, so if it is a south wind, you can get away with it a little bit because it's going over just that big open field, and so it's not going to, like, bounce in the trees or anything. Like, it's just going to blow straight out, and where the deer come in from and stuff, like, you shouldn't really have a problem.
Yeah, I should be fine. I mean, the way that majority of the deer come in, they come in from the east side of my feeder. So, right.
And yeah, you're I'm southwest pretty, pretty of it.
Well, yes, I'm southwest of it. That's how the one I shot last year, he came in from the east of my feeder, saw his antler, he walked out, and just gave me that perfect opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good deer. What did he end up scoring?
167 and 7/8.
167 and 7/8?
Yeah. That was his net score.
Golly. How wide was he? Like 2.5 feet or something?
Just over 2 foot.
Just over two
it's
foot.
Like 26 and a half inches or some crap like that.
26 and a half inches?
Yeah.
Jeez. That thing's huge.
Well, it's like that 8-point that you and me have on camera.
Yeah.
For some reason that you and me share.
Yeah.
Which still is mind-boggling. But, I mean, he has to be a son. He has to be. That's how wide he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got to. And, I mean, I've got that big, the big deer of mine, he's got to be the son of that giant deer that I've had on camera, just because they are almost the exact same thing. But the giant, I haven't seen him in 2 years, and he was probably 6 or 7 when I saw him. And so, one, he's probably dead for a lot of reasons, but... I mean, it's got to be his son because they're, like, almost carbon copies of each other. Like, the way they're shaped, everything about them, they got this little bitty sticker off the G2. I mean, it's almost the exact same deer.
You'd be surprised. You know, you say it was, you know, 6.5, 2 years ago. The fuck that's hanging on my wall, I saw last year.
That's true.
That's how old he is.
Wasn't he, like, 9 or 10 or something?
No, he's 8.5 years old. That surprised the crap out of me because I'm like, oh, he's 5.5, 6.5. No, can't think of a word now. The taxidermist I took him to, he studies all that stuff, and he goes, no, he's about 8.5 years old. I said, do what now?
That's insane.
But I mean, the way I think about it too is they're in a safe haven where I'm pulling them off of.
Yeah.
I mean, no one can hunt it. You know, that's about 350 acres of just nothing.
Just pure deer land. I mean, just prime.
Yeah, now deer and pig, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, well, beggars can't be choosers. I'd rather have deer and pigs than no deer or pigs.
That's fair.
You know, but... Yeah.
Do you get pigs on your camera? Or you don't have pigs, do you?
Not really.
Yeah.
Nope, unfortunately. No, when I was more in the woods, kind of like down towards the creek in that bottom, I would sometimes, especially like in the spring when it would flood real bad, I would because it'd push them up. But not really. There's that, you know, that field just to the west of me there was all those pigs down in that bottom. And I was just like, what's happening right now? There was like 30 pigs in that field for no reason. I mean, I kind of got down in there after they ran off. And it was like, you know, it's like Shanghai grass, but then it's like 3 inches of water, and so it was just real like soupy and muddy and stuff, and so not 3 inches, but like 2 inches kind of deal. So I was like, okay, that kind of checks out. They're just in there munching. But
oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, not now, but come like the 8th, I wouldn't mind a bunch of pigs moving in. That'd be nice, especially for where I put that feeder now. That'd be super nice to be able to just park on top of the hill, walk down, and then I literally have like a shooting lane. So that'd be super sick.
That's one thing I do. We all need to get together, mainly you, me, Marv, and Ryan. I need to go check that Greenville lease of mine. I have no deer. I haven't had any deer on camera this year. But you talk about pig galore. Oh, my Jesus. There's at least a 2 or 3 boars on there that I've had pictures of that push easy 350 to 400 pounds.
Tannerite.
No. 100%. Because there's probably a group of 40 that come in at times.
So I don't know how much you know or have experience with tannerite. And this is like a technical question. If you have like, let's say you have a container of tannerite, you have two containers and they're sitting, say, 3 feet apart. If you shoot one of them, will the second one blow up?
See, I don't know.
Because if so.
I've had it happen where, you know, we line them up and I've shot, you know, both of them and they blow up. I've also had them sit side by side, but they were taped together. I only shot one. And I found the remnants of the other, like it got busted open. So I don't think that they'll set each other off. But if you like stack them where you can shoot through both at the same time, 100% they'll both go off.
Right. Tannerite's kind of an anomaly in the sense that you can, it's an explosive that you can just go straight up buy off the shelf. You don't have to be 18. Do you have to be 18 to buy tannerite?
You do have to be 18.
Okay. So that's probably a good thing. But it's like,
oh, 100%.
It's like you're telling me I can go and buy pretty much as much, just like there it's explosive. That's what it is. The only caveat to it is, you know, you can't it's not difficult to set off, but it's like you have to set off in a specific way. You can't just light it and throw it or whatever. I mean, you have to shoot it pretty much. Right? Isn't that
and
right?
It has to be, yeah, you have to shoot it, and it has to be
over
a big enough caliber.
Is it a big enough caliber, or is it speed?
Well, I know, like, 22, 17s, they don't work.
Really?
I think it has to be, like, a 223 and up for it to work. I don't, it may go off speed, but we've tried it with 22 before, didn't work. 17 didn't work. And it's turned around, shot it with 243, and it blew up. So
that makes sense. I'm curious to see if it's a speed thing or if it's a like a size thing. Because like I can see it, like if it is a size thing, you know, just more surface area and the more friction and stuff, kind of giving it that spark. But like, I wonder if like a 9mm would set it off. You know.
I don't know. I've seen people try to set it off with slugs before, and it didn't work. So it may be the speed, more or less. It has to have a certain amount of speed to actually set it off.
Yeah. From speed or pressure. Okay, I googled, does tannerite ignite from speed or pressure? And I got an error on Google. I'm not exactly sure what just happened.
The feds watching what you're looking at.
Dude, probably. It probably doesn't help that I misspelled almost all those words. hold on, let me try to. Or the autofill here. Tannerite brands target explode when shot by a high velocity bullet. Low velocity bullets and shotgun ammunition will not ignite a reaction. The explosive reaction, once ignited, occurs at a high velocity, producing a large vapor cloud and loud report. Interesting. So Wikipedia says it's the velocity of it.
I can see it.
So now, you know, my mind immediately goes to, like, well, look at this. Can you set off Tannerite with a 9mm? 9mm is going to be tough, blah, 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 blah. The bullet is around 60 grains, traveling. Man. So my mind immediately goes to, what if you, like, self-loaded or, like, reloaded, like, a 17 or, like, a... what is it, 224 Valkyrie or like something really small like that, and just made it like almost extremely hot and at a really long distance. Like, I think it'd be funny to like set like 500 yards or something, just be like, pew, poof, you know, just like have that long, yeah, which I mean, I guess it would kind of be the same at like with like really like a 6.5 Creedmoor at like 1,000 yards kind of deal. You still have that long pause.
That's one thing that we do need to try one day out there on the place. But I still got, I don't know, probably 8 or 10 pounds of Tannerite.
Yeah, we need to. This has 2,000 feet per second or faster. Which, I mean, that's. Yeah, I mean, that's not like crazy fast, but it's, I mean, it's pretty quick.
I'll have to look at my 17 ammo I have now and see what it travels at. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I
want
to say it's 1950, but it may be faster.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, 50 feet per second, I feel like it should, you know? I do think it is a, I think it's a pressure thing, you know, because like,
yeah,
if you got it in that tub, if you hit it at 1,000 feet per second, it doesn't, the whole thing doesn't compress as much on like the impact, versus at 2,000 it compresses twice as much kind of deal. And so maybe that 50 feet per second is just enough for it to just not, you know, compress enough for liftoff.
I could see that.
But we should try and put like two containers of Tannerite next to each other and shoot one of them. And just see, like, if they'll, like, ignite each other, which, I mean, I guess it also depends on, like, I guess it depends if it's, like, one of those little jars you buy or if it's, like, a 5-gallon bucket of it. Because, I mean, if it's a pressure thing, then a 5-gallon bucket should probably ignite, like a, you know, another one. I don't know. That's interesting. Okay, yeah, it's got to be a pressure thing because it's always recommended to, like, seal the lid with, like, tape or something.
Yeah, it definitely needs its seal.
Yeah.
We found out that the hard way. We took, you know, they come in the pound canisters.
Right.
Well, we mixed those 2 pounds together, and we put it in a, you know, a bigger canister. Well, it wasn't airtight, and we shot it, you know, 5-10 times, whatever it was, and nothing happened. We're like, what the hell? And you come to find out it needed its back pressure. I mean, it wouldn't do anything other than that.
Right. Huh. Well, I don't know. But you've seen the videos where the guys, like, bury a 5-gallon bucket in the ground or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what we need to do out at that place, is we just need to, like, is there a feeder out there?
Is there what?
Is there a feeder out there where all your pigs are at?
Yeah, there is. I was moving. It's only like $50.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, go in, like, let's say they only come in at night, which is probably accurate, go in during the day, dump like 2 bags of corn out, pull the feeder out of there, and then just leave like a, I don't know, a 5 gallon bucket of Tannerite or something, and just wait for all of them to flood in when they're standing there. That's the only thing, though, is you got to have a, well, that's the only thing. Because, like, let's say it's a 5 gallon bucket. You're going to have a clean shot at it. But it's like, that's, like, you're not going to be able to shoot over it. But I wonder if you put, like if you put it up on, like, cinder blocks or something, like to elevate it, basically, I wonder if it would have the oomph kind of down, you know, to do damage. But.
Oh, I think it will. The pressure that thing puts out.
I mean, I guess, it goes three, you know, in every direction, I guess.
I've seen videos where people do that, and they load it up with, you know, marbles or steel balls, like bearing balls, and just stuff like that. Oh, my Jesus.
That sounds
it destroyed. Oh, yeah, that'd be a really, you know, crappy way to go, but.
That would be a really interesting test, if you will. Take Tannerite and put, I don't know, yeah, pieces of metal with shrapnel in it and set it in the middle of, like, basically a plywood box. Like, get some, like, cheap wafer board or whatever, but, like, make 4 sides on it, maybe a bottom and a top. Well, I don't know, the top's going to come off. So, basically, they probably just set the top on there so that it will just blow off, but then cut, like, a hole in it, and so you shoot through the hole in the plywood, hit that Tannerite, and just see, like, how the shrapnel tears up that plywood, basically. I'd just be very curious to see that, like, in action.
Oh, I bet you would do, I mean, quite a bit of damage. I mean, just from the pressure itself, and then if you load it up with nails or bearings or stuff like that,
It seems like it sounds like a war crime. I mean, I guess it pretty much is, but.
Yeah, we're not doing it. Oh, that hurt.
What was that?
I found a rock, and I got almost chunked out my seat.
Why do people throw away rocks?
Oh, no, this is where I'm going to get loaded at.
Oh, I got you. You're on, like, the road.
We have had people throw rocks away, though. I don't know. They pay for that stuff, too.
Yeah, they better. Oh, whatever. I guess we don't. Yeah, no, not that I know. I don't know of a Geneva Convention that we have with the pigs. So, I mean, I guess it's. All is fair in love and war, you know?
I'm tired of eating my corn.
Yeah, no kidding. But, yeah, dude, I'd be down. Just let me know. We'll go do something for sure.
Yeah, because I need to get my thermal sided in. We'll definitely be ready.
Yeah, for sure. I need to get that, 300. I need to get that finished sided in. We're going in March to hunt down South Texas. We're going to go shoot a sheep or something. So I got to get that sighted in. I'm excited to use that. I was talking to Mike about it, and he was like, "You going to use a 300? And I was like, "Well, it's either that or the 270. And he was like, "Use the 300. And I was like, "Yeah, probably. And I was like, "Well, what if I took my bow? And he's like, "Don't take your bow. He's like, maybe take it, and, like, if you get an opportunity on day one, but he's like, I don't want to mess with it, because it's for, I don't know if, we'll talk about it, I'll tell you the details later, but, he's like, maybe don't mess with the bow. I'm like, all right, fair enough. So, but yeah, it'll be cool. But all right, well, we've been on here for like an hour, and Mike is bugging me to call him, so I'll hop off here and call him. But I appreciate you taking your time, and hopefully you get off work pretty soon. You think you're going to get off here somewhat shortly?
I think it looks like we're getting wrapped up. I think last truck's here Or is it 7:17? Yeah, they're spraying now. I think we're getting close. We'll probably get out of here about 7:45 or so.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No, it ain't bad.
That's not the worst day you've had there. And, I mean, especially for, like, how, like, being backed up and everything. It's probably not that bad at all.
It's gone pretty good. I mean, it's definitely not the worst day. I've been here till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and then started again at 5, so.
Yes, sir.
Do they do anything where, like, if you do... Because, I mean, I guess it's not really one of those things where it's like, oh, I go in, I start at 5 a.m. and I work until X time. It's kind of like until everything's done. So it's like if you do work until 3 a.m. and then you're supposed to start work again at 5 a.m., it's like do they let you, like, go inside and sleep for a couple hours or is just like that sucks?
No, they let us sleep. I mean, that night I was here till 3. I mean, I shagged ass home. I showered. Ate something real quick. Like, we really don't start until 6. Like, we don't have to clock in necessarily until 6.
Okay.
So I got home by, 3:30. I was showered and done by 3:45. So, I was in bed for, at least a couple hours. And, a little less than a couple hours. But, and I started over. And luckily, the next night, we got off at either 6 or 7. Yeah. It wasn't too bad. Got to go home and catch up.
Yeah, that's not too bad at all. But heck yeah. Well, I'm going to hop off here and I'm going to talk over to Micah. But I appreciate you talking to me.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate you calling.
Yeah, man. Well, you have a good night and I will see you on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right. Be careful.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, good buddy Nate's having a good time. Now, let's see if Mike is not too bad mad at me because he did text me and was like, I tried to call you. It went straight to voicemail. That was like an hour ago. Is it going to? Oh, it is ringing. Ring, ring, go away. Dun, 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 dun. Where's he at? Micah.
Your call has been forwarded to a voice message system. 9.
Don't want to give his phone number out. All right, well. Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, he Snapchatted me almost an hour ago, and he was in bed. It looks showered and stuff, so I think he's asleep. But I will actually let me check some real quick. Let me check. Do 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 do. That's crazy. It shows he's still on his phone. Let me try to call him real quick. Let me try to call him again. It's ringing. I want to turn it up so where you can hear like it actually ringing. But if I do when they answer, it's crazy loud like it was when Nate answered the phone. Come on.
Your call has been forwarded to an...
Okay. Well, I've been on here for about an hour, so we will... Let me see. Let me call Marvin. Let's just to see where he's at. If he's at home, okay. If he's not, if he's still at dinner, then no biggie. We'll call him back later. Or I'll just go ahead and end the podcast. But
your call has been forwarded.
Golly. Okay. Well, apparently nobody wants to talk to me tonight, but I'll go ahead and end it. But yeah, so this has been episode 45, I believe, right? Yay. Where'd it go? Yeah, no, yes. Episode 45. This was fun. It didn't really start out too hot, and you know, it's not really ending super hot, but the middle part was kind of fun. But it was fun getting Nate back on the podcast and stuff. He hasn't been on since, what was that, July, when we were in when I was in Florida, doing the fishing trip and all that jazz. So it was fun getting to talk to him and everything. So all right, well, hopefully you guys enjoyed listening. I know it's coming out late, as it was supposed to be uploaded 17 hours ago, 14, something like that. I don't know, whatever. We'll chirp at you next week. Happy New Year's. Be very careful. Don't drink and drive. And make sure to not blow your fingers off, because that's not great. Be careful. Have a good New Year's. Happy New Year's. We'll chirp at you next time. Adios.